Welcome to the Fantasy Golf Degenerates Podcast.
What is going on, D-Gen Nation? Kenny Kim here, bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast this week for the Northern Trust Open. As usual, our podcast is sponsored by Draft.com. Join Draft right now using promo code DGEN and get a free $3 ticket for attorney of your choice after you make a minimum deposit of $10 or more. If you crush your season-long NFL league with a snake draft, this site is for you. They got some really cool stuff coming up. They got the FedEx Cup playoff, little snake drafts going where you pick five golfers in a draft. They're going to be your five golfers for all three events in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Pretty big money prizes in that. They got the huge million-dollar best ball tournament coming up in the NFL for the NFL season. So there's no risk. You know, go in, deposit your $10, use that $3 ticket. If you don't like it, withdraw to $10. What do you got to lose? Use promo code DGEN. As usual, I am here with my partner in crime, Tyler Tambolin. Tyler, how are you this week, my friend?
I'm doing good, Kenny. It's playoff time, baby. So playoffs? You know, I'm excited to be here. This is an exciting time of the year. They've changed the format. The events are swapped up now so that we have only three events. There is, you know, 2,000 points on the line for the winner, so there can be a lot of changeover. You know, someone asked me today about motivation in this event. Everybody's motivated because everyone has something to play for. Even Brooks at the very top, which we'll get to, is a guy that has something to play for, right? If he wins this week and the other guys don't do as well, he's literally basically locked himself into that spot. There's only a couple guys behind him that could win or tail him enough, like Rory coming in second, where they would stick with him going into next week. And then from there, you know, whatever happens at Eastlake. So excited to talk golf here, man. We still got some great tournaments out there for everybody and cash games and whatnot. But for me, it's going to be a big MME week with all the options that we have.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about it. You know, the purse for this week is like $10 million. First prize gets like 1.68 mil.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a big week. And OAD, it's a huge week too, because it's a lot of money on the line for this week. A lot of money on the line for the golfers. $15 million for the winner of the FedEx Cup playoffs coming in. I sort of like the 3-week sort of shortened version.
Yeah.
You're going to get all the golfers playing all 3 weeks. It's going to be a great, great event. You know, it's going to be a good watch. You're going to have the best fields out there. It's going to be fun. But let's talk about last week. The postman delivered. What a win by JT Poston last week. You know, shooting 62 on a Sunday to win an event. I mean, it hurt me because Webb was like my second highest owned, and Benny On was like my fifth highest owned of the week. So, you know, it hurt me a little bit. But, I mean, what a great win. What a great tournament. Dude was in the final pairing. I don't remember. It was about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago. He fell off, didn't do very well, but it looks like he learned from what happened, you know, being in that final group, and he used that poor showing last time and really upped his game up. There was no nerves on the guy. He was draining every putt. What a win. What a life-changing win. It's his first tour win. So he's exempt now. Too bad it happened, you know, at the end of this year, because I guess it wouldn't matter since he already had his tour card. But, you know, he gets the next 2 years fully exempt. He won a whole bunch of money. He's in the playoffs. Good for him. The Koreans had a nice showing last week. I had a feeling about Siwoo last week, just random feeling. You know, he missed like 6-7 cuts in a row. And I was like, you know what? I think he might do all right. And if you look at one stat that I posted about Siwoo Kim, I think in his three he's shot in the 60s in his first three rounds in an event like five times in the past. All top four finishes. So this was his sixth time thrown to the top five in there. He did well. Sungjae did all right. With the Koreans were on target. I mean, Benny Han hurt me though. I mean, if he could just make a damn birdie on the freaking on the par five, what 16th, 15th hole? I mean, he was one over on the weekend on that hole. And you know, that's one of the easiest holes on the course. So that really hurt him. Having to take a penalty stroke 2 days in a row on that hole. Webb doing his thing. It was a pretty fun event to watch. It was exciting. You know, even though Brooks already took down the dough for that Wyndham Rewards, what did you think of the tournament?
Well, I thought it was good. I think it's funny. A couple things you bring up. One was the, you know, Poston, like you said, Postman really never delivers. His first win, I think, I was joking with some guys. It was his last win was like 2015 in an amateur event. So for him, it was pretty cool. The one thing that stood out. So, you know, first off, you mentioned him a couple events ago. It was the Rocket Mortgage. And yeah, he shot a 73 on Sunday to finish 11th. But it was interesting in that tournament. It had like Hovland. It had Benny on. It had Neiman, Reed, Sabatini, all those guys up near the top of the board. So very similar in results-wise. But the one thing that stood out to me quite a bit, and I was kind of excited about, was the Keith Mitchell on Twitter being there for his boy. Because if you remember back to the Honda, JT Poston was right there with Keith Mitchell's parents, just chilling on the 18th green when he knocked down that 18-footer in front of Brooks and Ricky, who were standing nearby to take that one down. And those guys are boys. So to see that, it was pretty cool. The guy just delivered, like you said, on Sunday, 62. Absolutely incredible. You know, not what I expected to see necessarily, but by him, you know, it was an awesome finish. Webb doing his thing, felt bad for Benny. Really, really wanted the Hovland scoop job there, at least the T2 to get the card, but I wanted him to get into somehow get the win on Sunday and get into these playoffs. Because, man, like I said this, if you don't like Victor Hovland, I don't like you. Because this guy is so likable. His interviews are great. He plays amazing golf. His drive is pure money. He's got fire kicks. He had these awesome Nike sneaker, like golf shoes on that I was just loving. Like everything about the guy, he's just the man. And he was with Amanda Baliones, and he was like, he'd been there 20 times before. Like it was nothing. Like I think Webb was more nervous in his interview than Hovland was with her, because he's just, you know, stoned Rory, like Mayo and the boys say. He was just chilling, right? Like it was second nature. So really cheering for him, rooting for him. He's going to do things at the Korn Ferry Finals, get his card a different way. But overall, great tournament. Like you said, it was still exciting down to the end. You got to feel bad for Benny Yan. Almost drains it from downtown. It like literally hovered over the hole. If he had to just hit the pin, it drops. It was the right speed, I think. It was pretty fast, but if it had to just hit the pin, it was going to drop. So whatever. Webb's the man. Webb did his thing. He joked at the start of the week. One more thing on that was about the text from Tiger, the phone call he had from Tiger, who was obviously joking, but still not at the same time, because the competitive nature said, you got to play better, man. And Webb's checking in, like, where's he at as far as these picks go? He knows he can play his way on to the team, but he wants, find out what the big dog's saying. And Big Cat said, you know what? You got to just play better, man. I mean, what more can you do? 2 second places in a row, did his thing. The guy came out and shot a 62, JT Poston. Props to him. Great tournament, and it really loads the ammo up for this week, right? We got more guys. Poston's in. We know that. Webb's in. Ann's in. These guys are in. It's going to be exciting this week as well.
I mean, it's not like Benny on choked it away. He shot 67 on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just a 62 by Postman. That was just some solid work. I do have to say that, you know, Benny hit that putt about 10 feet by, ended up bogeying the hole. And that flip-flop actually helped our boy Adon7X. You're
a dog.
Great Twitter follower.
Make sure we get it right now, because I went through this. It's Adon7X. And yes, I meant to bring that up. That's an incredible win. And it did flip it for him for a 60K swing to win the 555 on a single bullet, which was incredible. Congrats to him. Amazing.
Congrats to Adon7X. Great follow. So make sure you follow him on Twitter at Adon7X. Single bullet. That little web on switch right there won him 60 grand. So solid work by him. Personally, for me, cash lineup, only 3 of 4. Cash game cornerstones made through. Streelman missed the cut on the number. So it's been a little bit of a struggle the last 4 weeks in cash. I think I'm on three losses in the last 4 weeks. Not the way that I want to end the season after having my best cash season ever. Still a good year so far. Going to end it on this final, event with a cut. So this will be the last event with a cash game cornerstone. Probably I might throw them out for the next week. We'll see. It just depends how I feel. But I did have a GPP sweat. So I was fourth in a $3.20 mm-hmm. max. And I was like $2,000 right there going into Sunday. And of course, what usually happens, I drop out of the top 50. I finish in 66th place. So, you know, it's just still $50 for a $3 entry. It's not bad. But, you know, it sort of hurt a lot. You know, all my golfers really shit the bed on Sunday, which is sort of a normal thing for me. I can't pick any Sunday warriors. I always pick the Sunday losers, which freaking sucks. So, losing week again. You know, a little bit of a struggle here, but, you know, hopefully we end strong when it comes to these playoffs. Tampa, how'd you do?
Yeah, so slightly losing week still. This is the time of year. It's going to be this week or next week. Had the same sort of thing. I had not that high, not a fourth going into Sunday this time around, but I had like four lineups in the top 100. There was possibilities. I was in like 28th all afternoon, and then it dropped a little bit from there. But, you know, the best part was I was heavy on Reed and heavy on Neiman. So all the lineups in the back of the pack just cashed for me. So, you know, that brought it back. I lost like 10, 15% on the week for quite a big week of buy-ins. I had 96 entries in the $44. So got most of it back there. It was pretty solid in that sense. And then, yeah, like I said, this week I'm going to switch it up. There's the $5 with 200K up top that I'm going to go after because I think it's a week to really be unique in just different ways. We'll go through strategy when we get into the picks here. But also there's a 555, as always, the one that we just talked about with the Don winning it. And I'm going to play that to get ready for next week because this week and next week are kind of the last. This is the last cut week. Next week's the last decent-sized field where it's not a complete crapshoot. And next week they've got the $8 mini main event and the $888. The big dog, so with 200K up top and only like 1,000 people. So I'm going to practice my 3 max this week in the 555, and I'm going to load 150 into the $5. What about you, Kenny?
I haven't checked out the tournaments yet this week. I'll probably check them out here later. But I really did like that $1 mini max that they did with the $5,000 first prize. It's great. It's really great. If you guys want to like – I know some people want to learn how to do mass multi-entering. The best way to start is with the mini max. Whether it's the 50-cent mini max they do, or if it's a dollar this week, I'm not sure which one it is. That's the best way to start. You know, make 100 lineups for $50. You know, it's not going to break your bank, and you can learn what you need to do. Your player pools. I usually do about 30 to 35 golfers. I've actually been toning it down just a little bit. Ross trying to get it under 35, like 32 golfers a week in my pool. And it's a great way to learn without spending a whole bunch of money. So if you guys are interested in trying to get that mass multi-enter thing going, I'd stick with the mini max until you start to feel comfortable with it. And I played a dollar. I played a smaller batch things. Tambo's more of the big money guy. So now we're going into this week. Before we get into that, let's go over last week's Listener League winner. And of course, I am not prepared like usual, and I don't have it up. So give me 1 second. And I will get it up for you. I think the winner's name was H-Boss. The H-Boss. He won first place with 631 points. He had Patrick Reed, who, again, I'm going to be on, like I said last week, for the rest of the season. Last week, you know, what his upswing recently has been mostly due to his ball striking, and he hasn't been able to finish well because his putter has been lacking. Well, last week was the exact opposite. His putter was scorching hot, but he wasn't that great at the ball striking again. So I'm hoping at some point in time in these next 3 weeks, both combine for him to have a big week. He also did Webb Simpson. Okay, Patrick was 28.5% owned. Webb Simpson finished in second, 20.5% owned. He had Kokrak, 9.5% owned, finished in sixth. He had the Postman. He delivered, 2.5% owned. Of course, the winner, Ryan Armour, short course specialist, finished in 22nd. He killed me. He was on that that $3 team that I had, and him shooting two over on Sunday when everyone else it was like 68 was a scoring average. You know that really hurt. He was 11% owned, finished in 22nd, and he had Joel Dahlman at 2% owned and finished in 53rd. What'd you think of the lineup?
Pretty money. Another blowout for the Listener League. So H-Boss, 631, the next closest. Another regular Klein, too, with 613. Gotta love seeing that. So, good lineup. Poston was obviously the guy that set it off. Dahman, probably the last guy out of my pool last week, which I was pissed off about. Had a great week. You know, in a sense, it was a T53 with 76 points. But for his price, he could help you fit some of the other guys. Armour, like you said, course history truther. I think he had an eighth and a sixth there, and then went 64, 66, 65, and couldn't get it done on Sunday, goes two over. And then Webb, Reed, you know, Kokrak, these guys we talked about. I'll talk more about Kokrak later. Webb Simpson, though, I mean, it just felt like he should have taken it down because 64, 65, 65 going in, started out with two bogeys on the first three holes and still manages to sneak into second while a guy's out there putting up a 62 in JT Poston. So incredible. We'll also talk about Patrick Reed here in a little bit, but shout out to H-Boss. We'll see him in the three man. Another quick shout out to our fellow regular Suel. I call it Swole because it's Swole too, but they're, you know, he or she, they're always up there. C-Wit, Nicky Noodles, a lot of regulars up top. Me and you, what do we got? One shot each a year at this thing, pretty much. And that's about it. These guys are up there every week. So props to everybody. And we'll see H-Boss and the three man this week.
Yeah. Just a heads up. If you want to join the listener league, you need to join by Tuesday early afternoon. I usually post the lineup, the listener league link about an hour after we finish the pod. And then it usually fills in about 18 hours. So, you know, you got to get in there quick, guys. Go check the link out. You know, there's a link on Twitter or a link on the site Apple or SoundCloud or wherever the hell you use to listen to the pod. There's also a link I'll post on Twitter. You got to get in quick, guys. We don't work for DraftKings. We're not Mayo. So we can't have more than 200 on there. So that you just get on quick. All right. So before we get into the course and this week, let's talk about gupscorner.com. Use promo code DGEN10, get a 10% discount on a year-long subscription or a month-long subscription to one of my favorite sites out there. The guys over at Gups Corner do a tremendous job. It is literally a community there. I mean, everyone looks out for each other. Everyone's happy for each other. It's really nice. I mean, that Slack chat, it's great. You know, I know a lot of you listeners, you want to talk about fantasy golf, but like, how many people do you know that you could talk to all the time that plays, you know? How many people do you know we can bounce ideas off of? Well, you go on that Slack channel on gupscorner.com, you have 1,200 people that you can talk to and bounce questions off of. I mean, literally thousands of messages on that Slack chat a day, great ideas, great info, great stats from all the users who are on gupscorner.com. Of course, they also do have Gups rankings every week, Gups ownership percentages, the lineup generator, all of his bets. You have Tambo's article. You have Buck's course preview. You have all the NFL stuff coming up here soon. And that's all included in the subscription. So use promo code DGEN10. Get yourself a 10% subscription, 10% off a subscription to Gups Corner. It is worth every freaking penny. And the year-long subscription is 365 days from the time that you put your money in. So it's not like a week or two left. It's a whole year. It's worth the money, guys. All right, so let's get into this week. The PGA Tour heads to Jersey City, New Jersey for the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs from Liberty National Golf Club. The playoffs have undergone some changes with only three total events instead of four and a wacky scoring system for the Tour Championship based on FedEx Cup rank. Prize money has also increased with nearly $10 million up for grabs this week, including about $1.7 million to the winner, and the FedEx Cup champion now receives $15 million instead of $10 million. This week is the only event with a cut out of these three, and the top 70 in the FedEx Cup rankings move on to Medina next week for the BMW Championship. Golfers definitely have plenty to play for this week. I don't think they're going to be lacking any motivation. Liberty National is a 7,370-yard par 71 with three par fives. It has hosted this event twice before, in 2009 and 2013. Golfers had some issues with the course setup in 2009. They actually hated the course. Wiley from Golflandia Pod actually put up a tweet from an article saying it was the least liked course by pros, like ranked number 52 out of 52 prior to the new reincarnation of the course in 2013. So guys hated that course. But, you know, they reworked the course, made it a little bit easier. The guys sort of liked it a little bit more. So looking at the 2009 tournament might not be as optimal as you think it could be. Two of the par fives should be reachable by most of the field, and the 600-plus yard fourth hole will most likely be a three-shot par five. Three of the par threes are fairly lengthy, especially the par three seventh hole, which stretches out over 250 yards. I think we got like 150-yard par three, 193-yard par three, 210-yard par 3, and, of course, a 250-yard par 3 I just talked about. When it comes to the par 4s, 5 range from 450 to 500 yards, 3 from 400 to 450 yards, and 3 under 400 yards, with the par 4 12th being a being drivable off the tee. Now, on approach shots, off the tee, golfers will see fairways that are average in width, with fairway bunkers in play and water on about 10 holes. Graduated rough surrounds the fairways. So if golfers miss a short grass, they shouldn't just miss the short grass barely. They shouldn't have too much trouble with their approaches. Now, if golfers miss wildly, you know, 4-inch rough comes into play along with water and OB stakes. And there's plenty of water balls here. Like, if you look, I think there's been something like 400 double bogeys or worse in the two events here that have been played. That's a ton of double bogeys. So big numbers are in play here. Because of this, most golfers will use less than driver on the majority of their tee shots. Unless, like, you know, now here's the thing. When Adam Scott won here in 2013, he only had 13 drives of 300 yards or more on the 56 non-par 3 holes. Now, with this new generation of young golfers, we might see some reach for the big dog more often. I mean, one that comes to mind is Hovland. If you look what he did last week, especially on 18, it's not that long of a there were a couple of holes where he definitely didn't need driver. But he was feeling it, and he was crushing them drivers right down the middle. And we see a lot of these young bucks doing that a little bit more. But it is technically probably going to be a less-than-driver course. Now, on approach shots, golfers will see tiny greens that with a lot of slope and undulation. One thing that should make approach shots a bit easier on these small greens is that the greens are pretty receptive. And with all the rain the course has seen in the last month or so, they should stay that way this week. Some of the greens are elevated. They have runoff areas, bunkers, and water surrounding most. The greens are pure bent grass and should be very quick with a stint meter rating of about 12.5. Tambo, what are you looking for in golfers this week, my friend?
Last week was all about strokes gained motivation. You mentioned it here. I mentioned at the top about how, you know, everybody's motivated here, so I'm not looking at that as much. Big thing here is, like you mentioned within your preview, is, you know, ball strikers, tee to green game, approach, scrambling around those greens, you know, if you miss, and then the ability to putt. So really, I'm looking at all around golfers, and this is going to be very similar, Kenny, to when we talk about majors, where I've had some good success this year. So I do feel strongly about this event because it's a lot of, you know, shiny toys. And we'll talk about that where, you know, guys have had great recent form coming in. The whole world's going to say, make sure to look at recent form because there's no course history. You know, 2013 doesn't matter because they've changed it a bunch. And that was so long ago. Just look at guys that are coming in hot and forget that a lot of these guys that, you know, have been playing recently have been playing much easier courses with much easier fields. You know, the best of the best and the cream of the crop usually rise to the top, and that's the case here. So for me, I'm going to be looking at, and we'll get into some of the pivots and comparisons and things like that, but I'm going to be looking at great golfers with that fit, sort of that ball striking tee to green mold as we go through.
Yeah, tee to green is going to be important. If you look at the results from the two events held here in the past, like the top five is just littered with people that were top five in strokes gained tee to green for that season. So ball striking is going to be a premium. Here off the tee, got to be accurate, got to hit the fairways, and then you gotta hit the approaches. I think it's going to be majority of second shot course. I think the approaches are going to be the most important factor this week, just because you know, I expect people to hit less than driver and hit more fairways than they normally would on a course where it's driver heavy. Also, you know, avoiding the big number I think is going to be important this week. So like double bogey avoidance, I don't use that often, but it's definitely there. It's a stat. That's something that I will look at, since there's so many doubles here. There's so many chances for big numbers here. And the winning score is only around, I think in 2009 it was minus 9. 2013 it was minus 11. Now, both of those had 20-plus mile-per-hour wins on a couple of days, which really tightened the score up. I do think you will see in the mid-teens this week for the winning score, but I don't think we'll see a ton of people in double digits under par.
Right.
All right. So let's get to this week. Let's start off on the top. We have who we got? We got Justin Thomas all the way to Mr. Koepka, 12K. Who you got this week?
Yeah, that's the interesting one. You mentioned right there, elephant in the room, I guess, is 12K for Koepka. You don't see a 12K price tag very often, first of all. Second of all, they've actually done it with a gap where drops right away down to Rory at 10-4, and then another big drop essentially down to DJ at 10-7. for me, if I play anyone up there this week, it's going to probably be McIlroy. And just because I'm not even going to go up there probably at all, but I might just fade the entire top three. It's very early in the week, still looking at it, but I don't want to keep chasing Koepka like I've talked about a million times. I know he's motivated. It's more about the lineups that you have to build with him. Even Rory, it comes down to that, but I might do a few lineups just in case. I always like McIlroy on a course like this, drive it out. I know he hasn't done as much as what people want to see lately. He had the miscut at the Open, all that, but I'm always a Rory truther in those three guys up there. DJ just seems lost. If he, even this week, if he's like 10% ownership, I don't know if I'm going to keep forcing that in just because there's too much going on. And then dropping down from there, I kind of like Rom, a lot of recent form and another course. I'll talk about these two courses. I'm not saying they're correlation courses, but just from, looking at the guys and the similar stats and things that popped up was Memorial and Pebble. And even Gary Woodland was on record saying that, this reminded him of Pebble, where you don't need to use driver a lot. You just got to get it out in the fairway, make your second shot, and then deal with it from there and grind it out. And, you just talked about double bogey avoidance. I think that's, not automatically built in, but, it's pretty built into these top-end golfers that I'm going to be talking about, because that's how they become that's how they score the way they do and win what they do and finish the way they do. So John Rahm's the guy that I like. I think, like you said, if it gets to something like minus 15, we saw him when people thought he couldn't at Pebble. He did. His recent form has been incredible. And then my favorite by far is JT here, just because of the price and how he's been playing. He's sort of been rounding into form. We've seen it. We've called for it. And now he shows up as the fifth price golfer. You can easily start lineups with him. So my favorite's Thomas. My second favorite would be Rahm. And I'll probably, in my 150 max, either just use one of the guys above with McIlroy or skip them all together. What do you got?
I'm with you 100%. Rahm and JT is who I'm going to start with. I'm not going to play the top three guys. Now, I'll go over the top three guys. I think all three have a great chance of winning. But, Koepka, but, it's Koepka, Rory, and DJ. They're the top three golfers in the world. But a couple of things going against them this week. Koepka tends to be better. He's been better on courses where he can hit driver. Most of his wins have been on driver-heavy courses. And one thing that sort of shocked me when looking at his stats on Fantasy National is that he's 100th out of 125 golfers in this field in double bogey avoidance in the last 50 rounds. He's been having some big numbers here. And, that could be just because of the couple of events where he finished like 53rd, 67th, whatever, and he didn't play that well and had a whole bunch of doubles there. But that's not great here. Now, again, like I said, he can win pretty damn easily. Right. Rory, the one good thing about Rory, you won't see too many wedges here. So, his iron play, his long iron play is usually pretty sharp. So he definitely has the opportunity to do well. And ranking-wise, he's first in my model. But I'm going to go ahead and skip him again. And DJ, like you said, I'm not really a fan. Something's wrong with his game. He's just been a little bit off. But Rahm and Thomas are my two guys. First off, because of the price. You can build so many great lineups. And going down below, if you look, like the winners of this event, there's only been one person ranked outside the top 100. I think two people ranked outside the top 60 in the FedEx Cup points heading into this event have won. You're looking at more of the big dogs who are the top guys, inside the top 70 in the FedEx Cup playoffs, top 50. Those are the guys that have really done well here and have won at the Northern Trust or Barclays or whatever this incarnation of this tournament is. And so, staying away from too many golfers in that 6K range, probably the right idea. Of course, someone's going to pop down there. But again, it's always hard to pick those guys. But you went over Justin Thomas. He's almost there. Ball striking supreme. One of the best tee to green guys out there. It's just his putter's been giving him troubles. Hopefully, he can swing that around. And unlike John Rahm, the form is ridiculous. Like 8 top 12s in his last 10 events or something like that. It's crazy how consistent he's been. And one thing about Rahm that shocked me, you always think about Rahm, big numbers, explosion, hothead, ninth in double bogey avoidance in this field in the last 50 rounds. So those two guys I like. All right, so let's go on to this 9K range. I'm going to start with my two first cash game cornerstones. First one's going to be Justin Rose at $9,600. Everyone says he's been doing what he's doing because his putting has been so much better, and his ball striking has suffered a little bit. Well, you know what? He's still 20th in this field in strokes gained approach in the last 50 rounds. He's still 16th in strokes gained tee to green in this field in the last 50 rounds. And here's the kicker. 8 out of 10 wins Justin Rose has had on the PGA Tour have come on bank grass. 80% of his wins on the PGA Tour have come on bent. The guy's been playing well. I'm with it. He's good on long par fours, good from 175 to 200. Average, okay, from 200 plus. And that's where you're going to see most of the approach shots this week, from 175 to 200 and 200 plus. So I'm a big fan of Justin Rose. That price seems really nice to me. Second in the field in DraftKings points in the last 50 rounds. He's going to be my first cash game cornerstone. My second cash game cornerstone, Webb Simpson. I mean, you got to go with the form. The dude's just playing out of his mind, you know, and he's second in double bogey avoidance in this field in the last 50 rounds. Seventh in proximity from 200 plus in the last 50 rounds. Top 10 in strokes gained par four. Top 10 in fairways gained. You know, top 10 in putting. I love Webb this week. I think he should do well. Now, when it comes to GPPs, I'll be playing Fleetwood at $9,800, you know, tee to green game, ball striking specialist. Even though he hasn't been as good as he was last year, his game is definitely trending upwards with a couple of top fives here in his last few events played. You see a lot of the times when it comes to this type of year, you ride the hot golfer. We've seen it with Billy Horschel. We've seen it with Ryan Moore. We've seen it with other golfers. I mean, Camilo Villegas won two events, you know, his first two career PGA wins ever. In the first two legs of the playoffs, 10, 11 years ago. So, you know, when a golfer gets hot this time of year, you ride it. And I'm going to be riding it with Fleetwood. And then my last, you know, Cantlay's going to be popular, but I think I'm going to play Tiger this week. 86 degrees, humid, sunny, good weather, fully rested, less than driver course.
Okay. You're selling my T3PO right here. That's my guy.
Okay, bad. See, we don't talk about the T3POs. Go ahead.
No, Campbell. It's a great transition. So Tiger over Kuchar is my first one. I'll start at the bottom. You know, I still think Kuchar is going to get love. The thing about, because obviously third in the FedEx Cup, you know, he's got a lot to play, just like everybody has a lot to play for, but he's had a great season. Some people like to auto plug and play him. I mean, I know you didn't pick him for a cash game cornerstone, and that's fine, but I guarantee you there's nothing really bad to say about, you know, using him in cash. It's Kuchar. You could always use him. It's just whatever you feel better about, but Kuchar needs to trade in those Skechers, man. They're getting a little bit worn. He's had a long season. He's actually gone backwards. So in his last five events, he started at fourth, then got 16th, then 20th, then 41st, and his most recent 43rd. So he's absolutely going the wrong direction. He's got a much bigger Vegas number at 45-1 in that range. So they're not really feeling him. You know, Tiger played well at the two courses I mentioned at the top. So Memorial and Pebble were two of his better showings. He's got two runner-up.
Wait. Tiger's 45-1?
No. I'm talking about.
It's a Tiger's 45-1?
I'm pivoting off Kuchar, who's 9,100, yeah. And Tiger's right there at 9. And I think people love playing Kuchar. And Kuchar's 45-1, but all the guys around him are 45-1 with Vegas. So I'm saying Vegas agrees that this guy's not a great number here at this tournament, but people like playing Kuchar. And at 9,100, I heard people even talk about do we just lock Kuchar in at 9,100? And when he was 8,700, he was popular. So why not? But I like Tiger more. I said he played better at Memorial and Pebble. He's actually had two runner-up at Liberty National. He's rested now. You mentioned the weather, so it's not going to be freezing cold. His back will be firing. He'll be good to go in that sense. And he does. He's 28th in FedEx. He needs at least a decent showing here in these next couple events, and this one seems to suit him just fine. And then what I talked about with the Woodland quotes, who else, you know, who has the best stinger on tour and is one of the best on approach of all time, and that's Tiger Woods. So he really sets up well here, and I don't know if he's going to get popular, but I like that he's 9K. It's sort of the right price for me, so that's my first one. Cantlay, like you said, is going to be popular. I'll be overweight on Cantlay in my big build. I don't care. I'll differentiate elsewhere. I think he's the real deal. He won at Memorial, which I talked about. Love him for that reason. Simpson, who you talked about, I don't know if as many people go back. I've even mentioned before the guy that keeps coming in second sometimes has trouble the next time out, but he clearly does not. He, you know, had a second earlier this year, got 16th. This one, he just came off a second. He got second again and really could have won it. He lost by one stroke from a playoff, but had two bogeys in the first three. And then Justin Rose, who you mentioned, it's not a T3PO of mine, but there's no way I'm playing Fleetwood with Justin Rose for $200 cheaper. You know, Camille Villegas, who you mentioned, has more PGA wins than Tommy Fleetwood does. And Tommy Fleetwood's $9,800 here. I don't care what he's done. If something like a one and done where you don't have anybody in Rory and Brooks left and you can use Fleetwood, it's possible, because then even if he wins, not many people will have Brooks and Rory. So you could use Fleetwood and still get the best score of the week with a third place. But I just like way too many guys around him. I mean, Thomas is right above him. Rose is right below him. I could understand from a game theory perspective because of that. But I just think Rose and Thomas are too good. So those are the four guys in that range that I like.
Well, the thing about this range is if you're doing the same thing that we are, where we're basically fading the top three guys, I mean, you could start lineups with two guys in the 9K range or a guy in the – or Rahm and Thomas and a guy in a lower 9K range and still avoid the 6K range. You know, in this type of setup when you're making your roster construction for GPP. So I'm going to be heavy on a bunch of these 9K guys, but the ones I talked about are my favorite.
Right.
All right, so in this 8K range, I'll go over my third cash game cornerstone. It's Billy Horschel. I've been riding him in cash. He's been doing me well. I think last week was his 11th top 10 in 27 total events that have been in the last 5 years that he's played, that's been in the last five events of the season. So this guy, this is his prime time. You know, this is when he shines. I think he has six top 11s in his last six events that have been in the final five events of the season. This is his time. He's doing well. I'm going to go back to Billy Horschel. Again, another guy, eighth in double bogey avoidance. So he avoids the big number, which will be helpful. Of course, I'm going to go back to Reed. You know, I, if you've listened to me the past few weeks, I've been on the Reed love train here the last couple of weeks. I probably love him more than his wife does because he hasn't been winning. He's not Lucas Glover. I apologize. But still,
no, you know, that's coming up later.
Yeah, but so I'm still on Reed. There's no really reason to go over him more. But one guy I do like up top, Adam Scott. Now, he hasn't been playing that well lately, but ball striker supreme, winner here in 2013. And then if you look at it, he seems to love New York. In his last nine appearances in New York or New Jersey, here's his finishes. 8th, 5th, miscut, 4th, 18th, miscut, 15th, 1st, and 5th. So the guy just somehow seems to play well when it comes to New York. He beat Koepka at this course in Sunday singles in the 2017 President's Cup. Now, the trophy is well in hand for the United States, but still, he beat Koepka. I like Adam Scott as a GPP play. I thought about him in cash, but the way he's been playing, I'm probably not going to go there. Could change. We'll see. But those are some of the guys I like. Who do you like?
Scott, you mentioned is a quick one. Just he's been quoted as well saying that, you know, he really loves the style course. He's enjoyed playing here. He feels comfortable out here. You know, he thinks hitting greens is the thing, and obviously he's got a great approach game. So, you know, ball striker extraordinaire. So he fits. He'll be popular, though, and I like Schauffele. We know this is Schauffele's time of year. He's another guy, great results at the Memorial and at the U.S. Open. Normally shines in these bigger, stronger fields, especially playoff time from his past history, winning at Eastlake. We're not quite there yet, but I think he's a guy that, you know, is a great GPP pivot there. Molinari's all right as well. Like you mentioned earlier, when you go up top and fade those three guys at the top, I made this what I wanted to do at the U.S. Open when Woodland ended up winning, but I just couldn't get away from the landmines. But what happens is when you fade those three, it opens up to play a lot more guys through this range. Right. So like you said, we can get on some of these guys. And for those going balanced, they automatically think the 9K range. There's a lot of guys in this 8K range. So a couple more. Morikawa, I don't know if he'll get much popularity just because Matsuyama, DeChambeau, all those guys. And I know I say play winners, but Morikawa is a different kind of cat. I'm talking about getting away from the Sepp Strakas and the Bryce Garnetts and Roger Sloanes of the world who have been ripping it up on easier courses with easier fields. Morikawa is a stud. We know that. You know, he's got a lot of room. He can move. He's got a besides last week, which like every single message in the Slack chat over at Gup's Corner was Morikawa just miss. Like every time his approach game is solid. He's got a 31st, 1st, 4th, 2nd, 36th, all different types of courses. The win obviously in there was at an easier course to my previous point, but it's not just that. It's like I said, he's sort of the long-term upside guy like some of these other guys I'll mention. So I do like him kind of. Love Matsuyama. My second T3PO is actually going to be to fade your boy Reed. You talked about it at the beginning. Hasn't been able to line them up yet. Last week, with 13 under, and that Sunday, he actually lost strokes on the week, tee to green, and lost strokes on the week on approach. So, yes, he does got to put them together. Yes, he can put them together. But I'm going to pivot to Finau, and I love Finau. You know, I was saying I'll play him at 8,900. He came out at 8,300. He's rounding into a little bit of form, posted some stuff on his social media this weekend. He actually set back-to-back course records at these two courses where he shot 62s. And I'm not expecting that here, but I'm just saying, when you play that good at golf and you're feeling that confident and you're posting those, you got to be feeling, it's like winning two GPPs and then going into the next one. You're probably feeling pretty good. Doesn't mean you're going to play well, but we know from past history, stronger events, majors, things like that, Finau does show up. So there's that. And then, like I said, everything with Reed, where he was just all putter. And I think he'll still be very popular to what your point was, because of his recent form. And if he does put it together, so, you know, price is still fair. I think he's going to get really popular. And then Horschel, who you mentioned, you can't really get away from. And then last guy there, like I said, love this range, is Jason Day. Just whatever. It's just Jason Day. I think I saw Justin Ray post a stat that in the FedEx Cup playoffs, Day's always been straight fire. So for me at 8,200, I can fit him into a few lineups and go with that. But I'm really just picking the guys that I think are great golfers and long-term going to be great golfers and in great form golfers all mixed together. So Finau over Reed as my second T3PO. I can kick off the second range here, Kenny. We're going to do 7,900 down to 75. And I'll go into my final T3PO, I believe, here. Actually, no, it's going to be the next range. I apologize. So guys I like here are going to be Louis Oosthuizen, 7,900. Just the guys, you know, the price is fair. Pops, as far as recent form coming in, this is the time of year for him to shine as well in the playoffs. 51st in FedEx Cup, wants to get to East Lake, having a great season overall, just hasn't quite put it all together. But you know, another guy with a good Vegas number in a much lower range. Put it this way. Kuchar's 45-1. Oosty's 50-1. Kuchar's 9,100. Oosty's 7,900. So, you know, I don't know what that tells you, but to me, I think he's a pretty strong play. Long-term good golfer. Similar guy to that is Leishman. You know, same sort of thing with him. Just, you know, the ability. There's the, you know, a little bit of a narrative with Australians coming in here. You know, you mentioned the Adam Scott win. Lots of guys popping in that form. So Leishman himself, he's in 12th in the FedEx Cup right now, having a great season. I think he's a good play in this range. Sabatini, who dropped that 67-footer on 18 going home. I don't know if many people will remember, but he's been on fire, having a great season. Another guy, it's not just because of courses he's been playing. He's like 18 for 22, made cuts. Solid guy all around. Chez Reavy, similar. Not going to keep going through everything with all of them. I do like Tyrrell Hatton. And then the other guy is Woodland. But the two I want to kick to you to start with, Kenny, one is Woodland, because I joked on Twitter today, but all the talk around him is going to be baby swag. Is he tired? You know, the opposite effect. You know, he said he likes the course, but, you know, rested, that sort of thing. There's going to be so many conversations around that. And then I also want to hear your take at the bottom of the range on Neiman, because Neiman's one of those guys that's just super hot right now. But like I said, you do have some Hattons, Howells, Garcias, all these guys right in that range. Who do you like in this range, and what do you think of Woodland and Neiman?
I'm playing Woodland. Less than driver course, this guy, that he does extremely well. You saw what he did at Pebble. So I'm in on him. When it comes to the baby stuff, I mean, here's the thing. You got to think, he has two newborn twins that were born like 10 days ago. They're probably not going to travel with him. That could be a good thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, a little peace and quiet after 10 days of two new screaming babies. This could be a nice little reprieve for Mr. Woodland, who hasn't been playing the best, and which, you know, you can see it why. I mean, you know, he had issues with the pregnancy the last time they had a child. And so the last 2 months or so, you know, this is the time where you really start worrying about, you know, about the kids, about the pregnancy, about the wife. You know, you really worry about the whole 9 months. But, you know, this is where you're really focused on. You know the time is coming. And so maybe he could have been a little bit distracted. Well, they're here. They're safe, they're healthy, and he doesn't have to deal with them for 7 days. So, you know, I think it could be good for Mr. Woodland here this week on this course. Neiman, I'm playing too. The guy's just been playing well. Seventh and double bogey avoidance. Pretty good iron play. Good on par fours. Good top 25 in the last 50 rounds in both proximity ranges that I'm looking for this week. But I do like Hatton. I probably like Hatton a little bit more. I mean, if you looked at his Twitter feed, he shot 60, his best score ever. And, of course, he played last week. The guy's been playing good golf. And, you know, like you said, with Finau, when you're playing that well, even though it's in a practice round, your confidence should go up to when you get to the real deal, the real tournament. So I do like Hatton. He's been playing well. I'm with Hatton. I do like Benny Ahn again. this week. He didn't choke last week. He just didn't play well enough to win. You know, 67 on a Sunday is not a choke job. Okay. And so,
I mean, it is when everybody else shoots a 65, though. It's not just the post in 62. Guys like Webb haven't shot worse than 65 and choked on 15 both days. It sucks.
But it's better.
He still played great. And I like him.
He beat that scoring average. The scoring average is like 68 point something. So he was better than more in the field. So it's not like he was playing poor. So I'm in on him. Ball striker supreme, strokes gained tee to green supreme. He's actually been really good around the greens as well. And if the wind does pick up, I mean, it is right by the Hudson River. So, you know, it's right by the water. So, you know, winds can pick up. Now, it's not scheduled to be more than about 12 to 15 miles per hour any day this week. But that could be wrong, you know. And the thing is, these greens are so small that I think, you know, around the green play is going to come into play here. And Benny's one of the best out there currently. Actually, the two best out there are Koreans, Benny Han and Kevin Na, are a couple of the two best short game artists out there there is. So there you go. Other guys you already talked about, I like Sabatini. I'll play Usti as well. And then when we go down below, other guys I do like in this range, I'm going back to Siwoo. Like, if you look at Siwoo Kim and, like, his – he all of his best finishes are bunched up together. Like, when he gets hot, he stays hot for a couple of weeks. He might have, like, a bad week here or there in the stretch. But, you know, he seems to be, like a form-type dude. Like, when he hits it – when he hits good form, he stays on good form for a little while. So, at $7,000, I'm in – or $7,100, I'm in on him. I'm in on Jim Furyk. At a course where the scoring is not going to be ridiculously high. He's first in double bogey avoidance in this field, second in greens in regulation, third in fairways gained, all in the last 50 rounds, third in par four efficiency from 450 to 500 yards in the last 50 rounds. So I'm in on Mr. Furyk, other guys that I'll be playing in this range. That's basically the majority of them. Let me double check. Grillo. And 7,000, another strokes, another tee to green specialist that I like. So I'll be playing him as well. Who do you like in this? Oh, and I did forget, my final cash game cornerstone is in this range. It's going to be Kyle Stanley at $7,200. The form is getting better for Mr. Stanley after a pretty rough season. He's been picking it up here towards the end of the year. His iron play has improved. His putting has improved. He's been really good from 175 to 150, hitting a ton of fairways, hitting a ton of greens. Top 20 in birdies a better game and DraftKings points in the last 12 rounds. So my four cash game cornerstone picks this week are going to be Justin Rose at 9,600. Webb Simpson at 9,400, Billy Horschel at 8,000, Kyle Stanley at 7,200. It leaves $15,800. You could basically do anything you want with that money left over. You can go all the way up to the 9K range if you like with one of your final two picks. So that's going to be my cash game cornerstones. Who do you like in this range, Tambo?
Yeah, actually my final T3PO is getting off of Stanley because I know he's had some recent form. He's one of those guys I'm talking about, been popular recently, and I didn't like him last week and he burned me, but I'll go back to going against him again. And my pick to go against him is actually Jason Kokrak. I mentioned earlier, we bring him back up. The guy is having just an incredible season. It just doesn't seem to want to end. And, you know, I've talked shit in the past about him, but this guy is having an incredible season, playing solid golf all season long, good recent form, only had four bogeys all last week, you know, cheap now down to something like 7,400. So, I mean, at the end of the day, he's in 42nd. He's got motivation to get to East Lake, being that close to the top 30 as it currently stands. And then top 20 tee to green on the entire season with 19 out of 20 cuts made. So I think Kokrak is a good play at 7,400. Dropping down just to go up the chart a little bit. Streelman bounced back. I know he just missed the cut, burned everyone. He's, you know, another guy, long-term, incredible tee to green on the season. I think he's top 20. Grillo, similar, you know, tee to green monster. You mentioned him. Furyk, you mentioned. I like Piercy. I think Piercy had a pretty good week and still dropped down, having a great season, and still dropped down to like 7,300 from 8,300. Glover, who I mentioned earlier, another guy. And again, back to what I was talking about Kokrak, Glover, Piercy, you know, even Furyk for him, you know, he's having a pretty great season for, you know, how much he's aged and the, you know, sort of guys he's got to go up against. And he's still showing up in some pretty big fields like the players. You know, these are guys that are just great all around golfers that I want to roll with. And that's sort of, the guys that I'm going with in here, but I'm not going much down below. So maybe you kick it off, Kenny, first, under 6,900. What do you got in general, or who's your favorite play down there? What do you think?
I'm going to start off with Party Marty Laird. He's been playing pretty well here lately. Fourth in strokes gained tee to green in his last 12 rounds. Fourth in greens and regulations gained. Top 25 in both proximity areas. I'm looking for 175 to 200, 200 plus. So I like Martin Laird. I'll be playing a little bit of Andrew Landry. Had a really good showing last week. Iron game has been strong. Again, going to try and ride the hot hand, especially when it comes to, even if they played easier courses, when it comes to these lower 6K guys, I'm going to be trying to ride the hot hand. So I'll go Landry there. Bud Cauley, another one, actually fifth in double bogey avoidance in his last 12 rounds, 11th in greens and regulations gained. A pretty solid end to the week last week. Cameron Tringali at 6,600, iron game has been strong. Tee to green has been strong. Third in birdies or better gain in the last 12. Of course, easier courses. Seventh in DraftKings points in his last 12 rounds. Really been really good around the green. He actually comes up fifth in my model when you just look at the last 12 rounds. So, I mean, he's been playing exceptional golf here recently. Another guy who might be – this one's going to be a low-owned guy. It's going to be Brian Stewart at 6,600. Again, another guy good with his long irons, hits a ton of fairways. He's actually eighth in opportunities gained in the last 12 rounds. If he, could get his putter to work at all here recently, he'd be having a ton more birdies. So I do like him as well. Chesson Hadley, $6,000. He had a good week last week. The thing about him is he's been really good. Let me bring him up here. Give me one second. He's been really good from the approach ranges that I'm looking for. So proximity from 200 plus, he's sixth in the last 12 rounds. Proximity from 175 to 200, he's 12th in the last 12 rounds. At minimum price, I mean, if you can get like three 9K golfers or Rahm or Thomas and two other 9K, fit him in and still have room for an 8K golfer. So, yeah, I think he's it's a good cap relief there. And since only about 50 golfers are going to be cut, you could take a little bit more risk when it comes to these lower end guys. Taylor Gooch, also another guy at the minimum price that I'll be looking at. Who do you like? Do you like anyone in this range?
Almost none of those guys, actually. And mainly not because I'm hating on your picks, just because I talked about it. Like I said, it feels like a major to me. And I talked about it in the past of, use the, the US Open or the PGA or something, where there's a lot of Euros at the bottom and everyone tries to hop on their favorite Euro to be sneaky with this diamond in a rough play. And not saying that's what you're doing. Just these guys down here are all going to be GPP flyers, hit or miss. But then you need to get so much else right. And I would rather just have, that's why I like the balanced approach, where I can just mix and match some of those guys I mentioned that probably won't be very high owned that are still really good golfers. Like, it feels like a lot of people will play Neiman and M over a guy like Hatton. That's all it takes. But Hatton's a way better, in my opinion, he's still a way better golfer long term. And again, little things like what you saw lately and the ability to pop for, on any course, especially in strong fields, we've seen a little bit of confidence. I like plays like that. But down here, Ryan Palmer, he's sitting there at 6,900. Don't hate him. Again, got a win with Rahm earlier in the season. Someone asked yesterday, how does he, pop up so high in these FedEx Cup rankings? The win with Rahm was definitely helpful, but I mean, he's got most recently a 7th, a miscut, but then an 18th, a 35, and a 6th. The guy has shown up at some tougher courses like the Honda. For 6,900, I don't hate it. Aaron Wise, former Rookie of the Year, got to put a lot of work in here. I know he's sort of under Brooks's wing a little bit. Played okay at the U.S. Open, like 35th at 6,900. Don't mind his ability. He's one of those guys, like you mentioned with Hovland, who can get the driver going even when it's not necessary and keep it straight. And then it just comes down to how well he does, on approach at and around the green. So don't mind him. I did like your Cauley pick. I was going to say Cauley call. It kind of sounds funny. I like your Bud Cauley pick. He's been playing much better lately. Good iron player, we know. Solid around the green. Don't hate that one for sure. Danny McCarthy, all putter, has to figure it out. And he's one of those guys that's sort of that I hated on earlier, saying like lately has been doing well on worse tracks. But he's a guy that can get hot with the putter. And if he does, you never know what can happen. We've seen it in the past. Corey Connors, Canadian guy. We mentioned him last week, had another decent showing. This is another top ball striker, tee to green guy, that cannot get it going on the putting green. I don't know if he's a Benny Ann or Hideki type that just can't figure it out, Luke List, that sort of style, or if it's just, bad luck. We've seen him win off of a Monday Q, but at his price at 6,500, he's about as low as I really like going here. and feeling comfortable with it. You mentioned some guys down below. It's just they're not for me. I'm going to stick to that sort of range and up, and I'm not going to need as many of them with the balanced approach that I'm taking.
Yeah, I've been playing about 10 to 12 6K golfers these last few events with a cut because they've been weaker field events. Mm-hmm. I'll probably cut that down this week. I'll probably only roster about 7 or 8 of these guys in the 6K range.
And yeah, and I like your call on the smaller pool you mentioned earlier, like you were tightening up your pool for MME. That's something that I toy around with often, and it's tough because when you have that many lineups, you know, 150 lineups, use the example, it sometimes comes down to, you know, building in some sets. So I might be really heavy on 35 to 40 guys, but that are all 10% or above, but then I might have some sets where it's, you know, AM, PM stacks. But then I will mix in some different, you know, flyers that just show up because that is what it is. So my pool says 60, but I'm really only heavy on 40. And this is an event where, like I said, I'm going to look at probably fading the top three, maybe play Rory and end up fading something else in there. But I'm going to do that. And then on top of it, I'm going to really cut down my pool. I'm probably going to play 40 max, even with different ways that I go, because I'm, you know, the field is smaller at 122. 70 make the cut. I want to have something where I can hit. And in the $5, it's 190,000 people in the event. So you got to pretty much have the nuts to take that thing down. And you're going to want to be very different and really have a lot of combinations around the guys that you're going after. So for me, I'm going to cut the pool down this week as well, Kenny.
All right, that sounds good. Let's move to the betting segment sponsored by DallasGolf.com. Look, guys, use promo code DGEN10. It's capital D, capital G, capital E, capital N, 10. Use that promo code. Go to DallasGolf.com and use that promo code because you're going to get the best golf deal that you can possibly get on any golf equipment you like. These dudes got the new Epic Callaway flash drivers. They got the TaylorMade M5s. They got the Odyssey putters. They got the Titleist irons. They got all the new hot shit that you want for your clubs. And they're literally the same price as any of the big time little huge golf galaxy dicks, all those little sporting goods stores, same price, but you take 10% off. And it's not like these clubs are cheap. 10% off the Callaway Epic, they sell for $549. You're going to be getting it for under $500. You cannot find that club anywhere for under $500. So if you're going to go buy golf equipment, there's literally no other place to go if you want to save money and get good products. Then DallasGolf.com. They got the custom shaft model, which is real cool, where you type in like your club head speed, like all this other stuff about your game, and they give you the perfect shaft for your club. And the thing is, you think, okay, well, if you save 10%, but then you got to pay an arm and a leg for shipping. Shipping is free, people. Shipping is free. Go to DallasGolf.com. Buy your golf equipment there. If there's only a couple weeks left for this deal. So if you want to buy like Christmas presents or something for your wife or your husband or your brother or your dad or something or your son, get it now. Save the money now. Go to Dallas.com, DallasGolf.com. Use promo code capital D, capital G, capital E, capital N, 10. Save that dough. Tambo, who you got for bets this week, my friend?
I took a bomb on Connors at 250-1. You mentioned, I mentioned him a little bit with an E-tray. Don't know if it'll ever happen, but I'll try it out. I'll probably take him top 20 as well just to make that one up. I really like the value. We didn't talk about him a lot, but I like the value on Bubba at 100-1. So I got 100-1 with the each way. It just seems like a big number for him. Woodland, who we talked about, 70-1 with the each way. I saw some people got 80. That's what I like. Finau, who we talked about, 45-1. With the each way, never wins, but that's why I love having the each way. And then I normally don't each way under 50, so that's twofold. One, 45 on Finau, I'm definitely doing it because he never wins. I also made a huge mistake, which basically cuts my card down for the week, and I each way JT at 20-1. So I meant to bet him anybody at 20-1. I'm just betting him straight out. But I wasn't paying attention, and I clicked the each way button off, and I could contact them. They'd probably, refund it, let me re-bet it, but maybe it's a sign. Maybe he'll end up coming like third and it'll be a nice payout. I get a top five with that. So is what it is. Those are my five. Who do you got this week, Kenny?
I'm not going very long shots this week. I got Rose at 20-1. Like I said, 80% of his PGA Tour wins have come on bent grass. I got Adam Scott at 40-1, former winner here. Then I'm going with the two old reliables from the last few weeks, Billy Horschel, 50-1. Patrick Reed, 50-1. And my one longer shot, it's not even that long, it's going to be Joaquin Niemann at 80-1. All right, any one and done picks for you?
Yes, for me, it's Fleetwood. I just feel bad not using him. I really can't. I'd have to go like three in a row. And I don't think as many people will use him here with, you know, everything else that's going on. So even if 80 people have him or something, it'd be enough to vault me up some and then figure it out if I even get lucky in that sense. So I'm going with Fleetwood.
Yeah, I used Snedeker last week, who didn't really play that well, but I'm still inside the top 50, so I didn't drop that much. I'm not going to say who my OAD is because I'm not 100% sure yet. I got a couple of guys that I'm thinking of, but we'll see how it goes. All right, Tambo, why don't you tell them where they can find you, my friend?
Yes, GupsCorner.com. Kenny mentioned the promo code earlier, DGEN10, DEGEN10. Head on over there. Lots going on to finish out the season. Like you said, it's more about the community. Like, it's everything's there. The picks, the rankings, the articles, all that stuff. Football's going to be crazy. Lots of big stuff coming up, but all about community. The Slack is huge. We even got a hashtag food channel over there now where it's food, outdoors, off topic, and drinks. And we're sitting there just chatting all night and people showing stuff off. There's like 200 people in there. There's 1,500 plus in the golf channel. Everything is solid. It's a great group to be around. Use the promo code, even if you just do it for the month to end up the season, get these final few events and the kickoff to football. It's going to be like 10 or 11 bucks with the promo code DGEN10. So check me out over there. If you don't got me on Twitter, add me at Toetag and Tambo. Follow up there. DM me if you have any questions.
All right. First off, before I go on to my thing, if you guys have, we've had a lot of new listeners this year. Thank you all. I mean, we've grown. I honestly, I didn't think we'd grow this much in the year number four. As we close out the season, we're breaking records on a weekly basis now. And so here's the thing. If you guys, if you find our pod entertaining, or if we've helped you win money, or you just like listening to the pod and think we're funny, please go and leave a 5-star rating and leave a good review. It will help us out so much when you do that. It keeps the pod free. It's helpful for our sponsors and all that good stuff. If you could do me a favor and just do that for me, it will be great. Really, really helpful. You can find me on Twitter at KendoVT. I do a lot of research on Monday, but I do even more on Tuesday and Wednesday because I'm bored and I have no life. So, you know, I'll post a lot of crazy little stats and stuff in the next couple of days. That's what I usually do. And you can find my article on powerhourpod.com. All right, guys, that's it for this week. The playoffs are here, baby. Let's win some motherfucking money, DGEN Nation.